be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
What you seek from God in every area always comes in anointing. And if we'd spend less time trying to get stuff and more time trying to get him, everything will be all right. Many times we think, well, Lord, I got to do this. We come to church with all of these things and all of these needs. And some of them can be religious needs. I got religious needs. How many got ministry needs? Let's just think about ministry. How many want to do ministry? And you know the ministry costs money. You got ministry needs. Wow. So you can bring your need to church. And when you bring your need to church, it's always before you. And everything you're hearing has to be in reference to your need because you're so consumed in your need. You can be so consumed in your need that you don't know how to get it filled. How many have been waiting on a need to be fulfilled for a long time? I've been waiting for a long time. Well, I want to tell you something from the Holy Ghost tonight. Let me help you out. How many want your thing to come quickly? How many want your breakthrough quickly? Forget about that thing and think about Jesus. And when the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes, grab a hold of that anointing more than anything. Many of you might come, you might need a house payment. Forget about that. Many of you might need your marriage restored. Forget about that. And get the anointing. And if you can get the anointing will break the yoke of bondage and destroy the yoke which is keeping you from that thing you want down here. Because what you want is already here. But you need an anointing to give you the ability and the authority to grab a hold of what you want. So if we could just stop for just a moment and say, Lord, I need more of you. And if I can get more Jesus, I can get more of what he wants me to have and what he desires me to have. Doesn't that make life a lot easier than us trying to beg for this and beg for that and wait for this and wait for that? Get Jesus and he'll bring it to you and it won't be late. It'll be right on time. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Seek ye first. You got to get up and seek. You know, it's a gift that God has given man, the ability to seek. And that seek is more than just looking around. That means desiring. You know, animals seek food. But we as human beings got a little bit more that we can seek for. The ability to seek things and desire things is called life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Seek first God, Jesus Christ, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and everything else will just come in line. Many times when you find a stopping of the flow of abundance in your life, in your ministry, and in different things, is because you get distracted from your seeking more of him, because he's not going to sacrifice knowing you for a ministry. He's not going to sacrifice knowing you so you get a bigger house and get a testimony. Amen. He doesn't want to sacrifice knowing you for any earthly thing. Oh, I want to know you more. I want to encourage your faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. How many of you got to have a word? How many of you have ever been desperate for a word? Those of you that realize that words produce something, you get desperate for a word and you got to hear something. How many of you realize that the word is your key to victory, that it'll bring you out, just a word to hold on to? Well, I want you to know tonight that you've got a word already. You got direction. You got voice and you know exactly where you're going. The word is so close. I don't got to go looking under rocks. I don't got to call a 900 number to tell me what does God want me to do. I don't got to listen to TBN for 56 hours because the Bible says that the word is nigh and it is even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach is in your mouth and it's in your heart. The Word. Now, you know you live by the Word. And the Bible says that what you sow, most of the time when you sow by your words. That's the strongest sowing you can ever do is the words that come out of your mouth. Do you want to know what the word of the Lord unto you is? Listen to the way you talk. Now, I want to explain something to you. The living word, the word that you speak out of your mouth, and I don't care what it is. Negative, positive, that is the word over your life that carries authority. Therefore, it is the word of God for you. And people need to be cautious of their words. God gave you the gift of words. Amen. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You want to come out of where you are? How many of you want to be saved from where you are? Salvation basically means deliverance. Now, we know that we're saved from our sins, but many of us are in circumstances and we're in situations. We're imprisoned in some stuff that we need to be delivered from. And many of us are not delivered from the things that ensnare us, from the bondages and the prison that ensnare us, because we imprison ourselves with our own words. Wonder why our life can get so messed up or so confused or so tormented, and we don't know why. Because the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The word you may want won't ever take root over your life because it's ruled out by the word that is nigh thee. The word that is nigh thee and in your mouth will become the dominant word in which you live by. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Sometimes it's difficult to get good confession. But it's one thing when you preach and you preach and you teach and you teach and you teach. We preach that you might hear the word with your hearing here, but get it on the inside. You will not be able to change the word in your mouth until you can change the word on the inside, the inward man down on the inside. God's trying to bless some people. He can't bless them because they keep speaking word stored on the inside. That's why you got to be delivered from bitterness. Because whatever's deep on the inside of you, it will cover your mouth. And whatever covers your mouth and whatever comes out of your mouth dictates what's going to happen in your life. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That's why we got to hear the word of faith. That's why we got to be cautious who we walk with, who we talk to, and what we hear on a daily basis. Because people feed your spirit. If you're around somebody that's filled with a bunch of fear, you say, well, I'm just ministering to fear. But if you're around fearful people all day long and negative confession people all day long, guess what? You're going to have a spirit sooner or later that's heard fear so much, heard losing so much, heard doubt so much that your heart is going to become so filled with that. Then your heart's going to start to fill your mouth. And as soon as you start to fill your mouth with what is in your heart, your destiny will change. Do you know people can't change your destiny? People don't have the ability to change their destiny. But they change your destiny in this way. By constantly speaking and you constantly hearing until it roots in your spirit and starts to come out of your mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Now, many times we can say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, I tell you what, fear comes by hearing and by hearing the devil. And a negative report. Fear comes by hearing and surrounding yourselves in an environment that's speaking doubt and unbelief. The worst kind is the religious kind of talking, okay? Because religious kind of talk, I mean, you can talk forever, but it's religious, but it's lacking the word. It will produce fear in you, and it will destroy your faith. It might take 6 months. It might take 2 years. It might take 5 years. But sooner or later, you're going to have a seed produced in your heart that's going to come out of your mouth, and it will destroy your destiny until you catch it. Jump down to 17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How many of you want to have faith? How many of you want supernatural faith that can move mountains? How many of you got something? You know what? I got things I can't do. I got things that are impossible for me to do. Amen. I can't do it on my own. I need God. The life that I live by faith. I have faith in God, and I can't accomplish my goal without the gift of faith in manifestation in my life. But faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. You're going to have to hear the word of God to fill your spirit with it. What I've learned is that people will always speak what they are. They cannot hide their tongue ever. I've never had a person manifest without speaking it first. It will always come out of their mouth. And many people try to hold their mouth. It's impossible to hold your tongue. It's impossible to hide your stuff. It's impossible to hide your tongue. If it's in your heart, it's impossible for it not to come out of your mouth. Might take about 3 years, but it's going to come out. If it's there, it's going to grow and it's going to come out. That's why you got to keep your heart pure. Many of us try to get slick. See, we try to get slick. See, Jesus was even slicker than some of those people. He heard their heart even before they got it out of their mouth. He just cheated on their heart. He heard their heart before it even came out of their mouth. The Bible says, for what is done in secret, God will put it out in the open. Whatever you got in your heart, let me tell you, your heart belongs to God, and there's something supernatural about your heart that you can't control. It manifests what it keeps. It's a process. It's the kind of being that you are. Some people say, no, I'm just going to keep it down. You know, see, people got into deep, gross sin, and I'm just going to keep it in my heart, but I'm going to keep it down, and I can keep it down for 7 years. It'll never show up. I'll keep it down for 14 years. It will never show up. But whatever is in the heart will eventually come out. You can't help it. Thank God for the gift of discernment that lets you catch it earlier. Amen? But it doesn't matter. Every devil will eventually manifest. Many people get in these marriages and everything's going real fine. Honeymoon gets over. It comes up. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. You better learn to govern your heart and to nurture your heart and to protect your heart and to care your heart. If you care for your destiny, care about your heart. And many people live heartless. What does living heartless mean? It means that they don't govern their heart. God placed Adam in a garden. Well, your garden is your heart. God placed Adam in a garden. He said, now you keep the garden. And everything that God dealt with Adam was on the outside. Jesus came, the second Adam, and he gave us a garden again. And he gave us control over the destiny of the garden of our own heart. The devil came to Adam in the physical realm, snuck in his garden physically. Today, you are a spiritual creature that Christ has made. If the devil's going to come at you, he's going to come in your secret place. Don't ever fear a devil that comes in you in the flesh. Watch out for those that come at you spiritually through a word creeping in the garden, a thought in your garden, a word in your garden. The wrong person will come and put a snake in your garden, in your heart that you need to deal with, you need to catch. And see, we got to teach these things as pastors and leaders, and we got to beware of the devil. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. And we just let it slide. Why was all mankind destroyed? Because there was a snake in the garden that they didn't keep. How many of you want to have faith? How many of you want to have faith? How many of you want to work? How many of you want to have God's seed come to fruition in your life? God's destiny, amen? How many of you want to do something? How many of you want to be something? Keep your heart. When you pray, pray in the secret place. And we found out that the secret place is the inner part of your heart. The closet. Enter into your closet and pray. Get into your garden and pray. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to let you know something right now by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. God wants to use you. God wants to do something in you. God's ready to give you a job. God's ready to employ you. God's ready to cut covenant with you. See, whenever you want to get blessed, you got to tell God, God, give me something to do. Tell me something. cut a covenant with me. Give me something easy. When you find yourself in a rut, don't say, God, get me out of rut. Say, God, give me something to do. Just to be free is nothing. You got to say, God, give me something to do. Forget about the devil. God, just give me something I can do, and you'll defeat the devil. There's power in that, because the devil can't stop what God wants done. You want to defeat the devil. When you find yourself up against opposition, then you say, God, give me something to do. And then you start doing what God told you to do. And when something comes against you, say, it can't stop the will of God. You can't go to God and say, Lord, I can't. God never gave any man in the Bible an assignment. They went back and said, Lord, I can't, and got away with it. You can say, Lord, I won't, but never, Lord, I can't. Because you can. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, no matter what. God wouldn't ask you to do something that couldn't be done. First of all, he doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it through you. And he's going to get the job done. He's going to get his job done with authority, with power, and with great anointing. Guess what? We can. You find out that you can pay for everything. The Bible says he will supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. And that kind of goes on to what we were talking about earlier tonight when we were saying, what you need, grab it in anointing. If you're rich and prosperous in anointing, you'll be rich in every other thing. There are many people that want to receive worldly riches, but they don't want to be rich in the glory of God and the anointing of God. It will not stand. If God doesn't give it to you, you don't want it. If God didn't give it to you, you don't want it. Keep your hands off of it. Wait on the Lord. And God does give people things. God does bless people. I know he wants to do it. I know without a shadow of a doubt he's ready to hook somebody up real bad. And he's looking for a vessel. He's looking for somebody to hook up. And I'm not just trying to make you feel good and preach you lollipops. I'm telling you the truth. God's looking for somebody to bless, for somebody to anoint, for somebody to grab a hold of something that can do something. Come on. He's looking for somebody to pour the wealth of the wicked on. That's the truth. He is looking for somebody right now. When he created the earth to do everything he wanted to have in the earth, he didn't put a whole crew out there. He didn't make Adam, Eve, Polly, Jane, Mark, John. He didn't put 12 apostles when he started the earth. He put two of them there. Actually, he put one. That was enough. What you see, everything about you, all of you are here because of one. And he said, let me get you some help. He didn't get him a crew. He didn't get him an army. He said, let me get you some help. He gave him a wife. He said, y'all can swing it. You can fulfill what I want done on the earth. Whatever God had destined for the earth, he could do it through that one. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He doesn't consider what he wants done by the number of what's down here. He looks at his own power, his own might, his own authority, his own anointing. He knows what he can do. He knows the rules too. He knows what's in you. He knows what you can pull off, and he knows what he can pull off. We don't know his way. God knows what he got and what he can do. Amen? His ways are higher than our ways. He's looking for somebody to do something. When he wanted to turn the world upside down, he said, let me send just my son. He was all of God, but he was all man. He didn't send all the heavenly angels to war and to do all this other stuff. He sent one, and before he sent him, he stripped him, didn't he? And then he sent him down as a man, yet fully man and fully God. Do you know he didn't operate in anything that you couldn't operate in? He wasn't Superman. He had the same flesh. He was tempted by the same things you were tempted in. God can do it. I wish somebody would grab a hold of it and make things a lot easier for all of us. You can be broke and God can use you. You can be broke and get a covenant with God and God will bless you. If you'd be trustworthy and walk in integrity and walk in honor, cut a covenant with God and I guarantee he'll turn your stuff around faster than you can ever think. Don't tiptoe through the tulips. Get up under the glory. Get up under the spout where the glory of God comes out and let God do whatever he wants to do to you. Let him blow your mind. If we need $10,000, then get $10,000 worth of anointing. If you need $3 million and you sit up and you get $3 million worth of anointing, amen? See? Wherever you find anointing, you'll find exactly what you need. Stop looking for figures. Stop looking for things. Stop looking at those things and start receiving more of God, more of His anointing. Stop worrying about the manifestation of what you need, but start to grab a hold of the power that will change those things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm waiting for my husband to change. Will you get enough changing anointing in your life? Get the anointing for it. He didn't let them do nothing until they were endued with power. You can get up under anointing and then you say, hey, it's done. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, let me tell you something. You don't have a God of despair. You don't have a God of dead ends. You don't have a dead end God. You don't have a God of discouragement. Amen. You don't have a God that says, this is it. Say, He's the God of hope. He's about to manifest to you His name. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you might feel hopeless. You might be in some situation host, but He set you up to tell you what His name is. Some of you under some impossible situation. He just wanted to tell you His name. Somebody said, who are you? What is your name? He said, let me change around some things. I'm about to show you my name. He is the God of hope. Oh, hallelujah. When you find yourself in a hopeless situation, a situation that even in your flesh, you lose hope in your flesh sometime, He's about to tell you His name. I'm not going to tell you tonight. God is going to give you your hope back. Many of you, the devil's been slapped and kicked and clawed and scratched and wore you out that you don't even care anymore. You've lost your expectancy of what you believe God wants to happen in your life. Say, it doesn't even matter. I'll just get to heaven. It doesn't even matter anymore. Doesn't even matter anymore. Well, the devil and kick you, say, I just don't care. I'll just show up. Who cares? I'm just not going to worry about it no more. Well, you are not allowed to cast away your hope or your confidence, for it hath great recompense of reward. Hear me? He's about to restore your hope again. The thing the devil thought he took out of you, they don't even hope about it anymore. He's saying, I couldn't even grab faith. You can't have faith until you have hope. He's about to give you your earnest expectation back where you expect it. Not just I hope it. Not, you know, hope is not like, well, I just hope that'll happen. That's not the kind of hope he's talking about in the Bible. You know, the hope he's talking about in the Bible is I expect it to happen. I got an earnest expectancy that it's going to happen any day, any hour. It's going to happen. I got my hope back. See, many times you get in your little small thing and you can lose your hope. Think about small things. God's not going to waste His faith on small things. You need to charge yourself and freak the devil out. You can't take it from me. I expect this. I got an expect. You can't change my mind. No. I just don't want this. I expect this. There's a difference between wanting something and expecting something. See, it goes beyond desire, but I expect it. Do you expect to see God move? I don't care what it looks like. I'm expecting something. I'm expecting God to come through. I'm expecting a miracle. I've got supernatural Holy Ghost hope. You might not like me. I might seem cocky. I might seem wild because I've got a hot expectancy. I expect a miracle. I expect a breakthrough. I expect God to move. I'm pregnant. I'm expecting. Now we're going to go on in the scriptures. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. You might not like the way I think, but He just gave me that expectancy. See, I've been hanging around the God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, that owns everything, that hooks up people. And I've been watching what He does and listening to what He says. Then all of a sudden I just expect things to happen. I'm not afraid. I expect God to move. I'm absolutely certain of it. Somebody say, well, do you believe it? No, I don't believe it. I know it. You can get to the point where you just stop believing. You can get beyond belief to where you know it. That's when people start thinking you're crazy, when you get that hope. Now the God of hope fill you. See, you're going to get introduced to the God of hope, and he's going to show you, give you some things to expect. And while you're waiting for it to happen, he's going to fill you with something while you're waiting for it to happen. See, many people think you get dumb when you get filled with joy. But you know what? You get an expectancy. They don't understand where you're coming from. And the devil might try to put some snakes in your garden to speak some things over to you and to say some things to you. But you know what? When you're laughing, you can't hear the devil. When people are drunk, have you ever heard people try to talk to somebody, try to talk sense into somebody that's drunk? Why does he fill you with joy? So that you can sit there and wait for what you're expecting on. Let them call you crazy. Go on and get crazy. They'll leave you alone. That is the biggest blessing you could ever have, is when somebody that doesn't have your expectancy thinks you're crazy. Stop them. They can't stop somebody's crazy. They just let them believe whatever they want to. They're crazy. We're going to be crazy because I got a God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace. Your peace is on the way. You're going to be able to sleep at night. We didn't got the snake out of your garden, and you found out tonight that you got some hope. And he's going to give you joy. And you're going to laugh. And you're going to rejoice. And you're going to shout. And then you're going to rest in peace. I've got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I expect the kingdom of God. That's called kingdom life. That's called kingdom life. See, that's what kingdom life's all about. People that expect God to do something. See, you don't just shout when you get what you're expecting. Enjoy the ride there. Look at God move. There's something moving in this place. Don't just shout when you get there. Don't just get all excited when you get there. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the expectancy. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy God. Because after you get there, he's going to give you something else to expect. So you better enjoy the ride. Because he owns the whole world. He's going to take you all over the place. God loves the travel. He didn't say, sit here with me. He didn't tell his disciples to sit here with me. He said, follow me. He said, he's the God leads us beside the still waters. He teaches us like children on the earth. He said, don't rest here. We're going to work this whole thing. And he's just going to use the spreading of the gospel to teach you who he is. Now check this out. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may what? That ye may, it doesn't say have a lot of hope. Doesn't mean abound in a lot of hope. Oh, so that you can be a real hopeful expectancy person. I'm just filled with expectancy. And you got double abundance of expectancy. It says that ye may abound or prosper and do well as you're in hope. That as you live a life of expectancy from God, you'll always be abounding. Hallelujah. I've got a God of hope that fills me with hope. And I'm going to abound in this lifestyle. See, you won't abound outside of a lifestyle of hope. If you don't believe in hope, you see, if you don't have hope and you don't hang around God, you don't have an earnest expectation, you're not going to abound in anything. You're just going to scratch and claw to get by. But God wants you to abound. Say, I'm going to abound in a lifestyle of supernatural expectancy. See, people abounded and people prospered and people did well when they expected God to do anything. If you don't expect God to do anything, he's not going to do anything. We can't think this way, that old worldly kind of hope. I would like God to do this. That's the kind of hope that many people think. You walk in that house, I would like God to give it to me. Wouldn't it be nice if God gave this to me? And God says to you, yes, it would be nice if I gave it to you. See, that's how many people's hope is. Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, I hope I get that. That'd be nice if I had that. You've got to expect God to move. I don't wish God move on nations because wishing don't do it. I've got a mighty God and not a genie in a bottle. God moves by faith. How many have been watching other people get blessed and say, man, that'd be nice if that happened to me? And God looks at you and says, yeah, that is nice, isn't it? You better get yourself some hope and say, I expect that to happen to me. I grab a hold of that by faith. Many people say, come and believe God with me. Come and wish with me. I'm not asking you to come and wish with me. I say, come here and stand and expect God to move with me. Don't look at what you see, but come here and expect God to do something mighty. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now I'm at 15 chapter 4. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. How many of you have been hoping for stuff and your stuff didn't show up when you thought you did? And people called you crazy. And you're afraid to step out again because you don't want to be embarrassed. See, God starts moving and stuff, and we care more about saving face than we do about believing God, see? Because God gets to moving in some stuff, and many times our fear of our reputation stops God from moving. Because we're afraid to let God do what he's got to do when we deal with God, amen? Then we start to worry about our reputation, what other people might think. They don't know the same God that you know. See, somebody would say, well, what's going on over there? I don't understand what's happening. Our fear of reputation stops God from moving. See, I don't care what it looks like right now because God didn't tell me to look at it. If they look at it, he didn't say your friends didn't have to look at it. He said you don't have to look at it. Many times God will be moving in your life and things will look real bad. You might not understand it. And other people are going to look at it. Let them look at it. Don't care what they think. You look to Jesus. They don't understand what God's doing. It's none of their business. Let them look. God might be just trying to flip their mind out. And see, many times we let people discourage us from believing God from what other people see. You decide not to look like you said, I don't go by what I see, hear, or feel, but I go by what my sister over here sees, hears, and feels. I'm comforted, but my brother over here has got a problem, so he's been trying to give me that problem and tell me, don't you see what I see? Don't you know? Many people have given their faith aside because of what other people perceive. Many people aren't in a big faith church where you're hearing faith all the time and say, well, they just got you brainwashed. No, they taught me how to walk without seeing, hearing, and feeling, and you can still see and feel, and you're still moved by what you see and feel, and you're trying to move me. I'm not blind. I've got eyes of faith. I don't need a seeing eye dog. See, many of us didn't learn to walk by faith, and then somebody else didn't learn to live it by the living in the flesh, and they're going to try to be your CNI dog to take you back to hell. Next time you got somebody else that's showing you the symptoms when you're believing God, you say, I don't need a CNI dog. I pray in the Holy Ghost that'll come up and say, CNI dog. White stick. You'd be both stumbling around in the wilderness. Stumbling around in the wilderness. What are you doing? I don't understand this. You should try this. You should try that. You got a word from God. They're not where you're at. Don't you know you're walking by faith? They don't see the things you see. They don't see the things you see. They didn't hear the things you hear. God didn't tell them. Listen here. Hold on to this with all of your heart. I believe this is ministering to some people tonight. God's going to bring it through. God wants to bless you before your enemies. And many times he will attract them to a show. He attracted all hell by hanging Jesus on a tree. He will attract their attention because he wants to bless you before in the presence of your enemies. You see what I'm saying? See, they'll be all standing there waiting for the ship to come down. Ooh, I can't wait to see this. God's setting you up to bless you in front of your enemies. Because you got a word to stand on. Hallelujah. Say, it might look a little bit crazy, but I got the plan. I got the plan. I got the word. I got the word. I got the word. I got the plan. I got the plan. See, because God wants to make his word out to be true and them out to be a liar. See, that's when they really start talking. When you start going, when your breakthrough is about to come and God starts doing some stuff that you don't understand and you have to believe God. See, that's when them prophet liars really get to prophesying. Because God wants to declare his name as faithful and he also wants to give them a name, prophet liar. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Your faith won't make you ashamed. There's a covenant promise to anything you're believing in. It will not make you ashamed. Your faith will not make you ashamed. Jesus said, that woman's not dead. That girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. And everybody's laughing at him. His faith would make him ashamed. There's a little bit of shame to faith. You get what I'm saying? It puts you on the line. That's why it's faith. Your faith will not make you ashamed. Sit there, wait on God. You've got an earnest expectation. Make a big show of it. You stand out there in the midst of it. It won't make you ashamed. Same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. Let me let you know another little secret. Unless the seed die, it will never live. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. I promise you, God will prosper you 10 times. I promise you, God will prosper you 10 times if you do this. Rejoicing in hope. That means find something big and expect God to do it and laugh about it. Find something big, find a promise, get in there, expect God to do it. Don't wish him to do it. Don't rub no genie bottle. Expect God to do it, then laugh about it. And they might think you're joking when you laugh, and then you turn around and look at them and say, no, I'm very serious. No, I'm serious. I'm going to drive this car off this lot. Patient in tribulation. Sit back, and that patience in tribulation goes along with joy and peace. See, it goes along with joy and peace in believing. Patience in tribulation. What's tribulation? You know, my only tribulation is waiting for God to show up. Amen. I'm not moved by the devil, amen? Just waiting for God to show up. Come on, Lord, I can't wait. It's like Christmas. I can't wait till he gets the next present. Waiting for my next blessing. Waiting for my next breakthrough. What can the devil do that he hadn't already done? You got a hard life waiting for your next breakthrough. Woo, hallelujah. That's the way you look at it. Oh, I'm in tribulation. Say the great tribulation coming. Yeah, we're all waiting for Jesus to come. What a tribulation. Waiting for my next breakthrough. Patient in tribulation. And somebody say, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Continuing in prayer. Now, that's real easy. Rejoicing in hope. Find something to believe God for and be glad about it. You will not be ashamed and you will not be embarrassed. We bless your holy name.
Bless you, Jesus. You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.